Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Paula Jenkins. She is with LFS Consulting, and she does leadership development and financial literacy. I have Chris Cloud, who's been through the good, the bad, and the ugly of organizational growth, and that has put him on a path to learning and teaching organizational flourishing. And finally, I have Frank Galindo. He is a bridge builder, a relationship builder, a father of two beautiful girls, and he's working in PR. The question I have for you today, if you remove standardized testing and college degrees, how do you define and recognize intelligence and aptitude? Frank, can you kick us off?
That was an interesting question that you posed there. And I went in two different paths. I'll stick to one. So the one path is taking away any type of academic approach to measurement of those aspects. How do you do it? Because immediately my mind also went to, well, aside from standardized testing and credentials, you have certifications, right? It's a whole other conversation of where education, aptitude, measurement, and ability can go. But going back into that other direction of non-academic is, you know, the problem with the standardized testing, the credentials, and I mean, I'm sure we've all lived it at some point, or know people that have, is how does that define who you are and how good you can be at something, right? When you're in an academic environment, you're kind of siloed, you're not in the real world. Internships do help, but I think on those lines, first of all, let's assume that the person is where he or she wants to be career-wise. So now it's a matter of going through it, living through it, using problems to real world problems and issues and seeing how they react, how they pivot, how they adapt, how they grow, how they learn, how they fail, because failure is super important. People have to fail in order to learn, I think, for most of their lives. But that's not absent having the support there. In academia, you're kind of on your own. Yes, you have your teachers, but mentorship comes to mind and coaching, and you get a lot of that in the professional environment. So for me, it's allowing someone to absorb information, provide them with some kind of a coaching, mentoring, guide of some sort, and then watching them work their way through these issues and problems to see, well, can they think out of the box, right? If they can, most likely you'll see that they like where they are. They like what they're doing. I think people are more adept to grow and be agile in an environment where they feel that they belong. Right. And I'm talking from a professional perspective. Right. So that's what I'm thinking is put someone in the environment, give them the information, give them the support, see how they grow and flourish.
So I would add, I think this is around where we talk about defining and how do you recognize the intelligence and aptitudes, how somebody can problem solve. So often we diminish the importance of that. If you can explain to me how to solve a problem or what you've been through, that is a sign of intelligence. That is a sign of aptitude. We talk about failures, the successes and failures in your life. By the time you are a certain age, we all have had some type of success and some type of failure. Can you talk to me about that? How did you handle it? What is the process that you went through in both cases? That is absolutely a sign of intelligence and aptitude. So I think too often we don't give enough to our experiences around how we show up. And it doesn't necessarily say that because we have these degrees, we haven't had that. But if you take that away, that becomes even more important, our experiences and how we handle successes and failures.
So this is a good discussion. And I think it's an important one because our society has been asking, are degrees and credentials the only path to success? And I think with the internet era and the remote era, there's more opportunity than ever for real education. And so we're leaning less and less on maybe higher education institutes to provide that education, right? And so now the question becomes, I'm kind of asking it from an organizational level, is the best proxy for talent, skill, ability, what someone tested on some exam or test or the degree that they hold? I think we're finding that those are not the best proxies for capacity and ability, right? And so then we have to ask, well, how do we filter for those if those are not the best way to filter for those? I think that's kind of fundamentally what we're asking, right? And I think that, you know, institutions that have sought to find people of high aptitude and intelligence have used those as tools to try to do that, but they're very limiting factors, right? If they're causing us to turn our brain off and say, oh, this person has a degree from Stanford, they're obviously equipped. You know, they tested a 750 on the GMAT. They're obviously capable. Then I think that they've failed us, right? But if they help us in kind of painting a full picture an image of this person, maybe they could be helpful tools. I'm reminded of Goodhart's Law as I thought about this. So Goodhart's Law is, if something is verbatim, it's when a measure becomes a target, it ceases to become a good measure. And so this is what people have done to these entrance exams in these prestigious institutions, is they've sort of gamed the system, and you have all these LSAT prep programs. They're just playing that game, which has nothing to do with the real world. Now, it may sort of test for some sort of grit and determination, but yeah, I think even Google moving away from the requirement for degrees for computer engineers, I think is a very positive direction, and one that opens up a lot of potential for people to pursue real education, not just degrees.
I can tell you, in my experience, education is just hoop jumping. My real life experience is much more relevant to the work that I do.
There's two things I wanted to kind of jump in and that I come to mind as we discuss this. And one of them is the fact that by shying away from the standardized testing, shying away from the obligatory college credential and formal academic education, I think that also opens up a whole world to people who might be underserved, underprivileged, and don't have access to that kind of academic education, but they have so much potential and aptitude inside. You just put them in the right environment, in the right situation, the right career field, and they flourish tremendously. And I think that's great. And a fantastic opportunity for us as a society to close that gap between the folks that don't have access to the education that other folks have access to, but they have such phenomenal potential and aptitude, and then put them, like I said, in those situations, and then we can help ensure that there's equity and opportunity for folks no matter where they start out in the ladder in society.
What I was going to say is that's absolutely right. And I think it just, again, it levels the playing field. So that equity piece absolutely falls in there, is recognizing for those who may score very high on standardized tests and had years of prep testing, there's a difference. But it doesn't mean the person who doesn't is not as smart. What it just means, I know how to take a test. You recognize that those who score really, really high, and again, it's not discounting their abilities. What it's saying is they've been prepped really well to take the test. And for those who may not, it doesn't mean that they're not smart or capable or intelligent. It just, they didn't have the same opportunity. And so by removing that, what you do is you level the playing field and you allow more people to have the opportunity to serve in roles they may not have. And I think that's critical in thinking about as we move forward, especially given the rise in college tuition. It's no joke. And so we have to recognize that maybe that is not right for everybody. And we know that. We've known that for decades, that college is not for everybody. And that's okay. It's not a bad thing. But again, by taking some of these things away, you can absolutely see the brilliance in people without those degrees.
Mm-hmm. But organizations have to be willing to have a human being do the work. Whereas right now, you just set a filter for must have college degree, must this, must that, boom, it knocks out a whole bunch of people.
If
you're going to find those diamonds who haven't had the opportunity to go to school, the person that was me before I got to go to college, you have to look for them.
There's a lot of reward if they do. I'm so blessed because early on, I had no business getting the jobs I got if you just looked at my credentials, because it took me forever to finish my undergrad degree. Yet there were a couple people early on that believed in me and didn't care about that. Somebody said, you know, some people have the ability to see the mighty oak tree and the acorn. And if we can develop that lens, there's so much potential out there. And it opens up as business owners, which is where I kind of the world I live in, you know, practical small business people that need awesome people on the team. We recently hired a few people and only one out of three had their college degree. But we're so glad we hired the people that we did, because other people overlooked them. And the people that were more technically qualified wouldn't have been great in the roles that we were looking for. And some of these were really advanced, like very complicated roles that require a lot of advanced thinking. And so it opened up more possibilities, especially in this time when people are looking for talent, right? There's a shortage of great talent in many fields. I think as business owners, when we can think outside that box, it opens up a lot of potential. But then we need to develop mechanisms whereby we can identify that talent. And that's probably
So I'm going to have to cut us off there because that is our 10 minutes, but we have just touched the tip of such an important iceberg. And I think that it creates a bigger question, a bigger conversation that needs to be had in the business world. So I want to thank you for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Enjoyed it.